A European bank sees trouble from the debt crisis.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. The European bank Dexia is in big financial trouble following concerns over its exposure to Greek debt. But French and Belgian finance ministers said today their countries will guarantee financing for the bank. Now the Dexia fallout could affect cities and towns right here in the United States. The BBC's Andrew Walker is with us now from London with more on that. Hi, Andrew.
Hello there.
What's the link between this particular bank and all these cities across the United States?
Dexia has a long history of being involved in the market for American municipal borrowing. It's something it's trying to run down, but it is still involved. And it is involved in a particular type of borrowing, providing guarantees for debts that are kind of remarketed almost on a weekly basis. So the interest rate can change over very short periods. And as the worries have grown about Dexia's stability, so the interest rate that some American cities are having to pay on this debt has risen quite markedly in the last few months.
It's gone up. Well, how much trouble is Dexia in, Andrew?
Quite a lot. I mean, there are real worries, partly because it's very dependent on raising money in the short term in financial markets. That market is under severe strain because lenders are worried about the strength of European banks. And Dexia has got a particular problem because it has a very large exposure to the debts of some of those Eurozone governments that are in such trouble, particularly Greece, but it's also got a big holding of bonds of Italy, Spain, and some others.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Andrew, thanks.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are much lower at the moment, anywhere from 2 to 3, 4% perhaps much. Apple's expected to unveil its next version of the iPhone today in California. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gave back 258 points to close at 10,655. Markets are closed in China this week for a national holiday, and people are traveling all over the place by subway and train. But there's concern in the country over rail safety after some bad crashes in the last few months. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Shanghai subways are running slower this week. It's a safety measure the government's carried out to avoid another accident. He Guoying is one rider who still feels a little nervous.
The government needs to be more careful. If they put the lives of the people first, then we wouldn't be seeing so many accidents.
She repeats a phrase that's popular these days in China. Things are moving too fast. With all these accidents, many wonder whether the quality of China's new infrastructure could possibly equal the quantity. A new morbid Chinese phrase has even risen out of this. Dai Xue GDP, blood-soaked GDP. The idea that China's risked people's lives in its quest for rapid economic growth. Subway rider Cao Xuying says her options are limited. I have to take the subway, she says. Too many people have cars these days, and driving in Shanghai traffic would get me nowhere. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. By MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
President Obama's touting a couple of economic plans, trade deals with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea, and a near $500 billion jobs package. The president's been more forceful lately, a change from what critics say was too conciliatory a tone with his political opponents. But journalist Ron Suskind's charges in his new book, Confidence Men, that Mr. Obama was even too conciliatory with his own economic team in the midst of the financial crisis. Ron Suskind, welcome to Marketplace.
Nice to be here.
I want to talk about one of the things you allege in the book, that President Obama asked his Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, to put together this breakup plan for Citibank. Too big to fail, right? So we've got to break this thing up. Why didn't that happen?
The president was trying to sort of summon his Rooseveltian moment just a few months into his term. He felt these big banks needed to be taken down. The overhang of toxic assets was causing fear. You know, Tim Geithner was not in favor of this. He actually was kind of the lone man standing on it. Even Larry Summers, who tends to ally himself with Geithner on the first do no harm principle.
This was the National Economic Council director, right, Larry Summers?
That's right, chief economic advisor. He was even with the president on this. But Geithner held his ground and didn't really pull together the plan the president wanted. The president now says, I think forcefully, that those days are over. He has the team he needs. He's the more forceful president, having evolved.
Larry Summers is quoted as saying, we're home alone. There's no adult in charge. Was that, in other words, saying President Obama didn't have a grasp of what was going on in his own White House?
Larry Summers responds to the home alone riff, saying that, look, we had five times as many problems. We didn't have five times as many people. It was a time of crisis. This home alone riff by Summers ends up, as is often the way with Summers, becoming kind of a framing issue where people do fear rightly that there is no one in charge that can control these unwieldy forces in this global economy that's buffeting the United States.
The debt ceiling debate is where this book ends. And, of course, the president's push for job creation, the American Jobs Act. Is the president more engaged and more knowledgeable about what's going on?
There's no doubt he's more knowledgeable as to his acuity and knowledge of economics. Now, having said that, when you look at the jobs package, it tends to be mostly off-the-shelf stuff. I think some people were disappointed. And I think that even now people are saying, what more have you got in the toolkit? The president, for instance, was very, very strongly in favor of a financial transaction tax. There are policies like that, things the president wanted to do, that I think now he might unveil again to say, well, let's do it now.
Ron Susskind, author of Confidence Men. Ron, thank you.
My pleasure.
And finally, Pinckney High School near Ann Arbor, Michigan, has a new homecoming queen. Senior Brianna Amott was crowned with a tiara just minutes before kicking the winning field goal in a big rivalry game. Amott tells the New York Times she's excited about all the attention. By the way, Brianna is also the school's treasurer. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
We talk a lot about how bad things are in today's economy. Jobs, wages, you know the drill. But when it comes to crime, at least, things used to be a lot worse.
In tribal societies, an average of about 15% of people met their ends through violence. In the 20th century, you get to about 3%.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Freakonomics Radio. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.